From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. The Environmental Protection Agency today released its draft report on the environment, which the agency is billing as its first ever comprehensive assessment of the nation's environmental quality. The report concludes that compared with conditions 30 years ago, our air is cleaner, our water more pure, our land better protected. The report is being released the same week that EPA Administrator Christine Todd Whitman is stepping down from her post, and she joins us now to talk about the EPA study as well as her tenure with the agency. Welcome to the program.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
Let's talk first about the good news. This report measures progress over the last 30 years. What does it find?
Well, it does find that we are in those three areas, air, water, and land, doing better. But it also shows that we have a long way to go. While air quality is clearly better today than it was 30-plus years ago when the agency was first established, there 133 million people in this country who live in areas that have bad air quality on at least one day in the year. And while the water bodies, the lakes, streams, and rivers have gotten better and cleaner over time, there's still 40% of them that are not deemed fishable and swimmable, safe for human health. And so what this is the first time we have put together in one document a look at where we are in this country on the environment, where we stand, what we know about the environment, what we don't know about the environment, and how we measure what's good for human health and what isn't. And it will really be a document that helps us direct how we spend our money, where we put our scientific research capabilities, where we focus ourselves. We'll also, I hope, inform research institutes and colleges and universities, as well as it's written, actually, that the short report is written in very clear English. So I'm hoping that high school teachers are going to use this, or science classes and things.
Let's talk about one area that's been stricken from this report, and that has to do with global warming or climate change. It's been widely reported that after the White House intervened and edited that section, it ultimately was deleted from the report. The New York Times called that a shameful case of censorship. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution called it blatant pandering to the president's friends in big oil. What's your response to
that? Well, I'm disappointed in both of those editorials because they miss what's gone on here entirely. The White House actually just serves as a clearinghouse anytime there is an environmental issue that impacts more than one agency. This report was done bringing together the scientists and professionals from 30 different federal departments and agencies and more than 30 states, local governments, and outside environmental groups and National Academy of Science members. On the area of climate change, we couldn't get the level of consensus on what we could say about it in this chapter, which even in the very beginning was not a huge chapter. But anyway, the White House basically is the collection point for all the different comments on what it was we thought we could say and how we should say it. And we couldn't get consensus there. So basically what they said to us, look, here's the only kind of language on which we can get consensus. When I looked at it, when our scientists looked at it, we said, this isn't good enough. It just wasn't ready. And it wasn't censorship by the White House so much as a reflection of the rest of those 30 departments and agencies, those scientists not being comfortable with what it was we thought we could say.
There were memoranda from within the EPA, though, that the White House editing of that section was basically altering the science as it was known and as it was found to be from the EPA studies themselves.
Well, that's why I said with the language that came back that everybody could agree on, and that's what the White House reflected, what all the other scientists and professionals in the other departments and agencies would agree to at this point in time was such that it just wasn't comporting with what we felt we knew. And so that's why we thought it was better for the report to take it out, because the science, the scientific documentation behind everything that's in that report is so sound and represents the best available scientific knowledge that we have today in those areas, that's what we should go with. Leave climate to another day, not hold up the whole report because of it. But it wasn't the White House saying we're not going to talk about climate. This is an administration that's spending $1.4 billion on climate change and technology development research. This is an administration that is taking on this issue in a way other than Kyoto, basically saying Kyoto isn't the only way to address climate change, but we need to address it. The president said an 18% greenhouse gas intensity reduction over the next 10 years. So we're working toward that goal.
You came in as EPA administrator, hailed as a Republican moderate with a good environmental record as governor of New Jersey. You're leaving with this assessment of your tenure from the National Environmental Trust, which said, no EPA administrator has ever been so consistently and publicly humiliated by the White House. How do you respond to that?
Well, again, I consider the source. This is the administrator and who has functioned with an administration that supported me on tough cleanup standards on the Hudson River, tougher than anyone anticipated. The first time ever regulating bulldozers and tractors, non-road diesel vehicles, as well as diesel vehicles, where we've had differences, where policy has changed. I think it's the environmental groups that many of them who want to see those as being the only litmus tests for whether you're making a difference or not. But I would urge people to look at what has actually happened, what's on the books, what we're moving forward with, and they'll see that, in fact, there's a very strong positive environmental record here.
At the same time, shortly after you came on board, President Bush reversed a campaign pledge and mm-hmm. rescinded the U.S. signature to the Kyoto Treaties on carbon dioxide emissions mm-hmm. and global warming after you had pledged his commitment to that treaty. How do you explain that reversal, and wasn't that a setback for your goals?
Sure. Well, first of all, it wasn't about the Kyoto Treaty. The president never promised the Kyoto Treaty. He had never supported it. I didn't support it as a governor. Where he did go back on a campaign issue was on carbon and considering carbon a pollutant, not the Kyoto Protocol. Yes, I had been over in Trieste and talking about carbon because at that point we still were. That was an early administration, hitch. It was looking at the real world and he hadn't had time to look at it before I went over. It wasn't personal. It wasn't about me and it wasn't about him. It was about policy and what he felt was best in the best interest of the nation as a whole.
You're now leaving the EPA, heading back to New Jersey. There's talk of a possible Senate run, and I wonder if that's a real possibility.
It's not any talk that I'm having.
Is there a possible return to political life?
Well, I'll certainly always stay engaged in public policy issues. I've just spent too much of my life. It's been 20 years now that I've been either in office or seeking it, so I care too much not to be involved. But how I'll be involved, I just don't know. I'm not certainly thinking of any elective office at this point.
At this point?
At this point.
Christy Whitman, thanks very much for coming in.
A pleasure. Good to talk to you.
Christine Todd Whitman is the administrator for the Environmental Protection Agency. She steps down on Friday. The EPA's draft report on the environment was released today.